and welcome to StarK's pre-Passover webinar series. This is a third in a series of four webinars. I'm Rabbi Tzvi Goldberg. This is Rabbi Mordechai Frankel.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming, Rabbi Frankel. And today we're going to be discussing the Seder night, the halachas, the laws of the Seder night. It's a chock-full night of various customs and halachas, and we're going to get Rabbi Frankel's shiur on that. If you'd like to call in, you can dial 218-895-1203, passcode 2020, pound. Again, 218-895-1203, passcode 2020. We have had two other classes. The first one is archived at kosherclasses.org, and the second one should be there soon enough. The first one is on Pesach products that we discussed last Monday. The final shiur will be this coming Thursday, same time, same web address, same phone number, and it's going to be with Rabbi Holland, who's going to show us a video demonstration of how you kosher, because people, you know, we can write about it in our book. By the way, we have to mention our book, the 2013 Passover Directory with all the StarK articles and Rabbi Bess's Pesach Medications, which is available at your Jewish bookstore or online. You can get the PDF online as well, including the medications. And people have all this information here about how to kosher. We have a whole article about it. Boil up a pot of water. Wait till it comes to a rolling boil. Put your pot in, you know, whatever, all the different rules. And but some people, practically speaking, it's not as simple as it sounds. So we have an online webinar where you can ask questions and actually see how to kosher. That's coming up this coming Thursday, 3 days from now. So Rabbi Frankel, let's start with today's discussion, which is the Pesach Seder.
Well,
let me just mention, if you have any questions, feel free to chat with us on the bottom of your screen. There's a chat box, and we'd be more than happy to take your questions.
Pesach Seder night, as everyone knows, is a very busy night. There's a lot that person, a lot of mitzvahs during the night of the Seder. A person wants to start the Seder without delay, as soon as they can. So therefore, a person should make all the necessary preparations beforehand.
This year it's Monday night, right? So they should prepare Monday day.
Right. So just a checklist of various things that a person would want to prepare. If a person is planning to use horseradish for their maror, so then they would want to grate their horseradish, unless they're very daring and want to eat it whole. But I wouldn't suggest that. A person would want to grate their horseradish beforehand. If a person forgot to do it, a person can grate it on Yom Tov, but then a person should do it in an unusual manner. They should do it with the shinui, which would be, for example, grating it directly onto the table rather than grating it onto a plate. But preferably a person should prepare it before Yom Tov. There were those who did not advocate for that, because they felt that if a person grated it early, then by the time the mitzvah came around, it would lose its potency. But practically speaking, if a person grates it and covers it, it should stay nice and strong. So a person should grate it before
That's if he's using a regular horseradish.
Right, regular horseradish. If a person
maybe using a romaine, you'll talk about
right,
that.
Right, if a person is using horseradish, if they choose to do so, then they should grate it beforehand. If they're using romaine lettuce, as you said, so then they also need to prepare it beforehand, because it needs to be checked to make sure that there are no insects harboring in the lettuce. To check romaine lettuce leaves, so one should separate the leaves, soak them in water, and then make a leaf by leaf inspection against the light to look for any possible insects. Any insects which are found obviously should be removed. But alternatively, a person could use just the stalks and not the leaves. A person could do that: remove the leaves and the stalks, rinse the stalks under a strong steam of water, and rub the stalks to get anything off them.
That's what I've done in the past. I use the stalks because it's easier.
It's easier.
It's not as traditional, because it feels like you're eating celery.
But each person should follow their custom. But if a person is going to use the leaves, then there's more involved. Then they want to check their leaves before Yom Tov.
They could buy pre-checked
as well. Right. Some of those are hydroponically grown, so that gets into another question.
Oh, okay.
That's another issue.
Yeah.
But a person could do that as well. Another vegetable which we want to check beforehand, or at least prepare beforehand, is the vegetable which a person uses for karpas. Again, different people have different customs. Just like for Marat, different people have different customs for karpas as well. But a person wants to prepare them. In particular, the karpas is dipped into salt water. Ideally, the salt water should be prepared before Yom Tov. The custom for karpas, different people have different customs. The common customs are celery, radishes, cooked potatoes. What do you use for karpas?
We use celery.
Celery, okay. So with celery and lettuce sticks, they look the same. But that's one thing a person should not do. A person should not use. Should not use exactly the same thing, even though a person could use any vegetable for karpas. A person should not use the same vegetable that they're going to use tomorrow. Either way, the custom is to use specifically celery, radishes, or cooked potatoes.
Radishes? I've never seen anybody use heard anybody use radishes.
You have to come to my seder.
Oh, really? Do you use radishes?
Yeah, I eat radishes. Uh-huh. My children don't like radishes because they eat radishes on an empty stomach. And it's hard for us. That's what my parents did. So I eat radishes. Uh-huh. My children go with the celery.
David is asking, what about commercially available triple washed leaves without a hashgacha? Still need the same checking? Yes. We don't accept the romaine. He's talking about romaine lettuce.
Right.
Without a hashgacha, it's not necessarily going to give you bug free lettuce. There aren't any claims made that it's bug free, and in actuality, it's probably not going to be bug free. So you do need to do that check on those leaves as well.
The Starkade gives the hashgacha to lettuce, there are many batches that we reject because triple washing cannot be guaranteed.
That's a good point. You could use Starkade romaine for the seder, but those are pieces of lettuce,
right.
And it's very hard to deal with that. How much do you have, and so it's difficult to deal with that. But there are other agencies that give a certification to the large leaves.
Right. So a person could certainly do that if the leaves have hashgacha from a reliable agency. Then a person could certainly use that. Continuing our checklist, so we've prepared the maro, we've prepared the karpas, the salt water, charoses. The maro is dipped into charoses. Charoses is generally, again, probably every housewife has her own recipe. Generally, the ingredients are grated apples, almonds, other nuts, cinnamon, ginger, red wine.
Do you know people that put ginger? I know it says that in the Mishnah Berurah.
Yeah.
But where do you get ginger for Pesach?
I'm not sure.
Kosher Pesach ginger. What's the reason for the ginger again? I forgot.
It's the reason.
Everything has a symbolism.
Right.
The apples, because Klal Yisrael is compared to the apples, right? It's Tachas HaTapuach. Okay, we'll get to it later.
The ginger.
I'll call the Star Kale.
So a person should prepare it. A person should prepare it. Generally, you want to prepare it till it has the texture of applesauce. That's the kind of texture that charoses should have.
Why is that? So that's like the mortar.
You need something that you can dip your maro into, so you don't want it to be a complete liquid. It should be something.
Mine is usually a little thicker than that.
Maybe a bit more wine.
I had a little more wine.
A little bit more wine.
Okay. I'll do that.
Somebody
has come up with. This is Yaakov has come up with a link to Pesach ginger.
There we go.
Is this for Pesach? I guess it doesn't say that it's for Pesach here on this page. He gave us a link here. But okay, that's great. If we have Pesach ginger, now we know where to get it.
Right. It does say that, yeah, that the charusa should be thick, zeicha letit, as you said. The Rambam does say that. So, you know, I guess a little thicker is also fine. And it goes with these ingredients. It says that the reason for ginger is because it has a similar shape to the tevin, to the straw that they use,
So it's similar to the straw that they made the bricks out of.
Right. So if you have it.
Oh, there it is. David told us ginger is remember the straw.
Oh, thank you. Okay, there you go. Okay, so so we prepare the charusas. The next thing on our checklist is the bone. One of the things that's on the seder plate is the zroa. The bone, so a person wants that bone. That bone was meant to be a roasted bone. The person should roast it over a fire. Again, it's to remember the Korban Pesach. Some people, but different people, again, have prepared it differently. Some people boil it first and then they just singe it over a flame. The bone is meant to be, it's called the zroa because the zroa is the forearm of an animal or a bird. Generally, people use like a chicken wing. It's the limb of the chicken that where the wing attaches to the body. That's the zroa part of the wing.
Right. We use a leg. Why do we use a? Meaning in my house.
Right, or four leg. Right. I guess.
But a zroa is not really. It's a leg of a chicken we use. Is that right? I mean, maybe in my family. Is that the right thing to do?
I think the zroa is generally understood as
the wing.
The wing.
Oh, right. Really? Okay.
I know the prima godim. There are different customs.
Okay.
The prima godim brings some people have the custom of using the neck bone of an animal. How that connects to the zroa is you know. So apparently, there's definitely leeway in what a person can use. The zroa should have some meat on it. It's not just the bone. it's commemorative of the carbon. It should have some meat on it. The person's not meant to eat it on the Seder night because we don't eat roasted food, so it just sits on the plate. Ideally, it shouldn't be discarded afterwards. It's brought again. Mishra Berurah brings that ideally a person should eat it on the day during the daytime. I guess the second day of Yom Tov after a person's finished their Seder.
Why not the first day of Yom Tov in the afternoon?
And then you're going to have to make another zroah for your second seder.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So you could do that. Right. At least an ancestral, I guess.
Okay.
So, right. So
the problem with that, I find practically, is that
after two days
of sitting out,
right? It's not so practical.
Sat out for two nights out of the fridge, and then on the second day. You know, in the afternoon, nobody really wants to eat it.
Right. So it's brought like that, but it's brought to eat it, but I'm
maybe,
not sure
maybe
how
it was brought down, like you say, for Eretz Yisrael, where it's only one
day,
night, and then the next day they eat it.
Maybe that's...
Makes more sense like that. Maybe they weren't so picky back then.
What else goes on the seder plate? On the seder plate, there's an egg that's also put on the seder plate. So again, the egg generally people boil it. They also roast it. Some people have the custom to eat eggs in general. They eat eggs at the seder before the meal. So if a person has that custom, they should prepare those as well. Those are some of the things that a person wants to prepare. For a person, obviously. Other things that wine, if a person's going to use wine, matzahs, they should whatever packaging should be opened. The wine bottles should be unscrewed, especially if it has a screw. If it has a cork, a person can do that on Yom Tov. If it has a screw cap, we actually have to break off the metal, so a person should do that before Yom Tov. A person should open the boxes of matzah if they're going to be sealed boxes. A person should get a rest before the Seder. That sounds easier said than done. At least children who ideally they
especially
should
the women who are preparing, they should take a good 2-hour nap.
And you'll watch the children, right? So you know, as much as